Friends, listen, parenting in the digital age should not be this hard. Well, I've got some good news for you. It doesn't have to be. Over the last 6 months, I have been partnering with my friends over at Bark Technologies, and y'all, it has been amazing. Bark has been able to scan my daughter's text messages, 30 plus social media apps, emails. I mean, they have this advanced AI technology that scans text and gives me a personalized report of everything that my daughter is doing on her devices. Y'all, it's been amazing. But not only that, you can manage screen time, block websites and apps. You can track locations. It's not even about micromanaging our kids. It's about giving them the resources they need to not be exposed to things that they are just too young to be exposed to. And so friends, listen, death to lazy parenting. We have to get good at investing in the safety of our children. So head to the show notes below and check out Bark Technologies as we all become parents who get serious about protecting our kids. Here we go. Hey fam, welcome to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am your host, Tony Collier, and each series we lean into the stories of women and men that uncover their brokenness and practically show us all how they've rebuilt their lives with hope and grit. Come on, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and say this: I can live a life of hope and grit. Let's lean in. Hey friends, it's Tony Collier, and I am here with episode 5 of season 6 of the Still Coloring Podcast. And if you've been following along at all, you know that this is a very special season. I've been unpacking my last 6 months and what that has looked like. And it's been ratchet. Okay. It's been terrible. It's been horrible and treacherous. I've walked through a very public divorce and I've had to grieve some really hard things. And I'm excited and honored and grateful that I get to do this. And I'm excited about this episode specifically because I want to talk about pain not being wasted. That's a hard concept for someone who's in the pain, right? Like when you're in pain, you're like, upset. You're like, what are you even talking about? I don't care how the Lord's going to use this pain. I would like for him to take it away from me. However, when you live a life like I live, which is a life of trauma and pain and betrayal and divorce and all the things, I'm trying to fold my legs, but I'm out of breath right now because I'm old and I should not be trying to do this. Okay. Try to get comfy here. I'm getting comfy because I feel like I'm talking to my friends. When you have lived a life like I have lived, you do get used to pain and you get good at processing pain. And you know that no matter how bad it is, God will use it. He will redeem it. He does every time. And sometimes, I'm not a pain junkie, I promise. You look forward to the moment where God, you know, uses it, changes someone's life through your story, gives you an opportunity to tell your story in front of people. I listened to this podcast episode one time about the grief cycle and how the grief cycle just used to be like these 5 points of grief. It was like this cyclical situation where it was, you know, anger and bargaining and sadness and numbing and all these different things. And then one day someone came around the bend and was like, I think there's a 6th step to the grief cycle. I think once we have cycled through the grief cycle enough, we get to a point where there's something that has to eject us out of it. It's not to say that we won't grieve for the rest of our life, but it is to say that there just has to be an end of the tunnel, a way out, a light in darkness. And the light that they said was a life of meaning. So you can Google this. You can literally say like grief cycle, 6 steps, life of meaning. And what happens is that you go through all of these stages of losing whatever it is that you lost and grief being the response to that loss. And you realize that there's still meaning and purpose, even in what you went through. For me, it was, you know, being a little girl and being sexually manipulated and losing my virginity at 13 and getting on drugs and alcohol to numb the pain and finding Jesus at 21, but getting married and being in a toxic marriage and then having to get a divorce and then getting remarried now and thinking like, this is my redemption story. Like, this is it. Yes, God's going to do it. What is happening? I'm getting another divorce. Okay. What? I think I want to ask you the question, have you ever gotten blessed your story's changed, you felt great about everything, and then something bad happened again. Doesn't that really suck? Doesn't it really, really suck when you think that this is like your redemption story? You found that guy or girl and you got that promotion and you were like, this is it. This is the way. And then it just sucked. And it's like, God, why would you bless me only to hurt me? Well, friends, I think the problem lies in the way that we view it. Because do we really think that God is a God that would give us something good only to snatch it away? Do we really think that's in his character, like for real? It's not. How about maybe God has blessed us and he's excited and he's proud of us and the enemy hates it? You know, so much that he would want to taint the very thing that's good. That sounds about right, right? Because in Genesis chapter 1, God created all this good and Adam and Eve are frolicking around and they're like, wow, I love Jesus. And this is crazy. And there's three in one and there's this divine triune God that created us and they're all dwelling together and it's just freaking awesome. And then what? There's a tree. What are we talking about? Oh, there's evil. There's a serpent. There's someone coming after us. Okay, what is this? I'm naked. Surprise. Why am I naked? Oh my gosh, I have to hide. Damnation, murder, everything happens. God didn't want that for them. As a matter of fact, as soon as they fell, even before that, he had had a plan to redeem them and bring them back to his goodness. Friends, God has a plan to bring you back to his goodness. How do I know that? It's time for a God wink story, girls and boys. So the Lord blessed me and my kids and our nanny, Anna, with a beautiful home. I still am shocked some days. I'm like, this is my house. No, it's not my house. I mean, I'm renting it. You know what I'm saying? But I have a great landlord who's so kind and so just supportive. And I have a great neighbor, Mr. Mike and Mrs. Laura. And they like always ask if I need help with anything. Like the Lord has really blessed me with a beautiful home. Well, I can remember the first time I decided to go out of town after everything had happened. We're all moved into the house and Anna is there with the kids. And I'm like, okay, this is my first trip back. It's going to be good. And I was just recording this content for MOPS International, actually, Mothers of Preschoolers. I love them very much. And I was like, okay, I'm inching back out there. And I'm sitting down in the green room after I've recorded this segment, this devotional thing, and my au pair texts me just my name, which I don't know. I talk to her about this all the time. I'm like, when you text me just my name, I am having a panic attack immediately. I'm like, someone's died. What's going on? That's anxiety for you, family and friends. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So I'm looking down and she sends me a video and our new to us, beautiful home was flooding. It had gotten super cold in Atlanta and a pipe burst and my son was doing the worm like it was a Splashtown wave pool. For any of you that are from Texas, you know exactly what the Splashtown wave pool is. He is swimming in the living room. My au pair is freaking out. I FaceTime her. I'm like, what is going on? This is my first time leaving the house. This is my new house. And I had just put down a brand new rug that my friend Crystal sent me. And I loved it so much. And it was soaked. And I was calm. You see, because I had already been through a lot 3 months before this. And God had already come through. See, friends, what's so powerful about our faith is our remembrance. Our faith in the moment when something bad happens needs to be able to say, but remember he did it before. But remember he's not going to let you down. But remember that one time. He is a good God who comes for us. And he turns all the bad, sucky, treacherous, horrible, terrible things into good things because he's a good God. And he loves us. And he loves those who love him. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying on the FaceTime call, literally in the MOPS International office, and they're all looking at me. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, my house is flooded. My living room, all of it, it's just flooded. And they're like, are you okay? And I was like, God's going to fix it. I mean, I probably looked like a real psychopath, but I literally said, God's going to fix it. He's going to do it. And I told Anna, I was like, hey, you just calm down. I'll call the landlord. It's okay. Call the landlord. I also call my neighbor, Mike. I'm like, Mike, my house is flooding. And they tell us how to turn all the things off. And then I call some really good friends, Belinda and Terrence. They live maybe about 10 minutes away from us. And I'm like, y'all, my house is flooding. I don't know what to do. I need to get that rug out of there. I don't know what to do with the water. And they say, oh, this is crazy. We actually have a water vac because our house, our basement flooded like a month or two ago. And I was like, help, like help us. They go over, Terrence goes over and Belinda goes over with the water vac and they vacuum out all this water out of my living room. Now, Terrence is already injured. He's got a shoulder thing going on, but he's like, I got you, sis, which is just so kind to have a man that could, you know, come and like help me and my family, especially as a single mom and taking care of all this by myself. And they vacuum it up. My landlord comes over, he evaluates it, calls the plumber, they evaluate it. My landlord calls me and he goes, hey, I just want to give you a heads up that this has happened before. Same place, which is kind of weird. Now we're kind of thinking something's going on with that specific pipe. And I want to say that this is probably going to be a really long process. The last time we had to rip up all the flooring, because we have to rip up all the flooring and it's coming from the walls, we're probably going to have to redo the whole wall. If we redo the whole wall, then we're going to have to change the paint downstairs. There's going to be, you know, these big old fans in there. I know you have a son. It's probably not. And I'm like, okay, friends, I do not know why, but I was fine. I'm not kidding. I was so calm. I knew that God was going to make this right. I knew it. I believe that when God brings us to the Red Sea, his intent is to part it. And he is not going to bring us all the way through escape, through rescue, through walking. He's not going to bring us to the Red Sea and promise to part it without parting it. He is going to blow our minds. Friends, pain, adversity, getting through it with God is our guarantee that on the other side of it, it's going to be good. It's going to be better. It's going to be better because he's going to be glorified in it. So my landlord's telling me all this and I was like, okay, cool. We'll figure it out. I call my friend Jen. She has a condo really close by. She travels a whole bunch. I was like, Jen, I hope that you're not home, which is not something I would normally say, but I like need to move my family. And I need a place to stay. And she's like, girl, I'm not home for a couple of weeks. Go ahead, do it. So I go to Jen's house. I like text my landlord. I'm like, hey, you're fine. We don't have to find a place to stay. You're good. I'm going to go to my friend's house. I pack everything up. I go there and it's great. He brings out the water retention people. I think that's what they're called. God bless their souls. This entire team. It's that night that I get back from Colorado. It's like 6 p.m. He was like, they're going to test the floors or whatever for the moisture and all the things. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, no problem. They go around the whole floor. I'm bathing Sammy. I come back down and my landlord's standing there, like scratching his head, kind of looking around like, what? The water retention team, there's like five of them. They're like carrying in all this big stuff. Like they're getting ready to tear this thing up. And they're like, what? And my landlord comes over to me and he was like, Tony, this is unheard of. And I'm telling you, this makes me cry. I cry every time. This makes me cry. It started stirring in me. I said, he's coming. I was like, this is it. I don't know. I'm at a place in my life where I expect God to do the miraculous. I'm like, oh, it's coming. It's stirring up. He's coming for me. It's happening right now. There's a miracle in the works. Like the God wink is here. It's coming. I know it. I know it. This is the story that I'm going to tell. And all I could think is, this is hard. This is painful. Pain is not wasted. He's coming right now. And my landlord looks at me and he said, they can't find the moisture. And then they said, can you tell us, like, can you show us where the water was? I said, everywhere. It was everywhere. Okay. The whole thing was wet. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And they're like, we cannot find the moisture reading underneath your ground is supposed to be moist right now. This is weird. We came all the way out here. Like We've been doing this all day because pipes have been bursting all over Georgia. Like, this is weird. And I'm standing there and I'm telling you, I'm like, this is my God. This is my God. This is him. And the water retention lady goes over to the kitchen where there was no flooding at all. And she takes a reading and she's like, let me just take the reading over here. Let me, because if I get a reading over here, then I can tell like the differences. So the dry reading over here should be much higher than the dry reading over there. Like the moisture levels in your kitchen should be so low and it should be a little bit higher. And they take the levels and they're the same. It is as if my house never flooded. You see how God part seas in our lives every day? That he has the capability to part a Red Sea right in our living room. No moisture. And so they go, huh. And some of them speak Spanish and they don't speak English. And the lady that was in charge speaks to them in Spanish and says something. And you can see them, they just light up because they're so tired because they've been working all day long, ripping up floors and installing all these fans and all these things. And they're just like, we get to go home. We get to get rest. I don't think God parts the Red Sea just for us to be happy that the bad thing didn't happen, but maybe to provide rest and refuge for the ones that are connected, for the ones that are standing by, for the ones that are just watching as your life could have been ruined. And he still came. And he made it good. And I look at my landlord and I said, it was God. We've been praying all day about this. My friends have been praying. This was God. And I don't know if my landlord is a believer or not, but shoot. If not before, I think that day, maybe there was just a little seed planted in him that if this praying woman who did not freak out when her entire living room was flooded, who bopped in here and said, everything's going to work out. It's going to be fine. We're going to be good. Who came up with a solution for her family so quickly after he thought he would have to buy us an Airbnb or a hotel or something. If this woman says that it was God and I can't explain it and the water retention team can't explain it, maybe, maybe, just maybe for the first time, he said, huh, maybe there is a God. Oh, friends, I've got something free for you, something that is going to change your mind and maybe even your heart. My friends over at Dwell Differently have decided to give you an entire month free using my code Tony. Don't worry, I'll tell you all about it at the end, but let me tell you a little bit about Dwell. Dwell has this incredible mission to help all of us fix God's words in our hearts and our minds. It's a monthly membership style of scripture designs to help you and even your little kiddos memorize one Bible verse every single month. And the founders, Vera and Natalie, have come out with a brand new book called Dwell Differently, Overcome Negative Thinking with the Simple Practice of Memorizing God's Truth. Y'all, this book is amazing. And God's words aren't just a self-help strategy, fam. I mean, these are truth bombs that help you make it through some real dark seasons. And y'all know I can attest to it. So check everything out at dwelldifferently.com. You'll be real amazed and shocked at how God can use just one Bible verse to change everything in your life. And use the code Tony for your first month free. Love y'all. So they put one little fan up. They put a hole in the wall, just a little small hole to fix the pipe and put a fan there. And they said, well, it's a Friday. And they said that we'll come get the fan on Sunday. It should be all good by then. And so I still decided to take my family to my friend's condo and they loved it. It's such a nice, beautiful place. And Dylan was like, this is the best bed I ever slept in. And I just remember being with Anna, my nanny, and she was shocked too. I mean, we were literally preparing to be relocated for like 3 months and being like, okay, he's like, okay, well, God, if this is what you want, if this is what you want. I love God. I love him so much, y'all. And telling these stories for you, it is just really honestly like just made me love him so much more. He comes for us, y'all. I promise. If you're walking through something hard, I promise. He's coming. If you go to him, if you surrender, if you pray, if you refuse to let the pain crush you by just staring it in the face, embracing it, crying when you need to cry, grieving when you need to grieve, laughing when joy comes. Like, if you do it with God, I promise it'll be easier. I promise. Because I've seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I've seen him part Red Sea after Red Sea after Red Sea after Red Sea over and over and over again for me, over and over and over again for me and my kids. I've seen him do it for my friends. I've seen him do it for my family. I've seen him do it for random strangers that have DM'd me and said, look at what God did. Look at my very own God week. And he will do it for you. He will. We moved back in on Sunday and we walked in and it was like nothing had happened. But I still didn't have my rug. The rug got ruined. Sounds so vain, right? But like, I loved my rug. And it was so much easier for like Sammy to play because it was safer. We have hardwood floors. Oh, this is a thing I didn't tell you. My landlord also goes, the last time that this happened, I installed these floors that were recommended by the water retention people. They're actually like these waterproof floorings. Now, after hours and hours and hours, the water will soak through. But the fact that they were hardwood floors that were water resistant, I'm like crying so hard, water resistant, that's why the water didn't get in. But you know why else the water didn't get in? Because your friend came within an hour and water vacked all this water out. He was like, Tony, I don't think you understand. The water was flowing out of your house down the hill that you live on. Like, it was a ton of water. This is unheard of. I said, no, this is God. This is him. And this is community. This is why we don't heal alone, because literally my friends came to rescue my home, but the rug was still gone. Okay, the rug was still gone. I tell my friends and I'm like, okay, God did it. He did it because he comes after us. And my friend Lindsay, who's in my confessional community, orders the same rug for me and has it delivered to my house. And when you come to my house, it's like nothing's ever happened. But that's not true. Something did happen. Something that was sad and stupid. And I was like, what, God? Like, this is our new little house. Why are there so many issues? What? When I could have been like that, instead I was like, God doesn't bring you to Red Seas not to part them. He just doesn't. And I want you to know that it's the same God that did it for me, that will do it for you. Look for him, friends. He's coming for you. He loves you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to get you to the place where you have enough capacity to know that the pain won't crush you. He wants you to have moxie, grit, resilience, faith, belief, that no matter how dark it gets, light is there. Hope is coming. It's pumping through your veins. Even right now, as you hear this story, you're becoming more hopeful. Your brain is starting to rewire and believe, oh, wait, the pain is not wasted. Oh, wait, I will actually make it through. Oh, wait, I will not drown. I will not be crushed. And if I feel crushed and if I feel brokenhearted, God's coming for me, because he says it in his word that he's coming for the weary. Friends, are you weary? He will give you rest. Are you brokenhearted? He will be close. And after God parts the Red Sea, here's my hope for you. That you would pick up your bags, walk through the dry of the land in between the Red Seas, get to the other side, turn around as you hear the waves crashing down when he closes it again. That you would keep going and marching, and that you wouldn't forget to tell someone, look at what God did for me. Come on, friends. I hope, I pray, I want, I long for you to go back and tell somebody what he did. Do what I'm doing. Be brave enough to be broken out here in public. Thousands of people watching and listening to me pour my heart out, okay? And tell all my business, okay? For one reason and one reason alone, because I need you to know that we still serve a God that part sees today. He is still moving mountains. He's still doing miracles. He's still healing the sick, I promise. But you got to get hungry for that. You got to get hungry for it. You got to demand it. You got to go for it. Go for it. You got to tell him, ask him, seek him out. Trust him at his word. Charge him at his word. God, you said this in your word. You said you would do this. Do it. Or maybe not that abrasive, but like, can you do it for me, Lord, please? Okay. And I just think he will. Friends, the pain will not be wasted, okay? Okay? Love you. Hey, I just want to thank you so much for listening to the Still Coloring Podcast with Toni Collier. I am so absolutely grateful to hold the stories of brokenness that we get to share with you and the honor that it is to point you to both resources and ultimately to our source, Jesus Christ. If you can't get enough of the show, we'd love for you to leave a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. If you've got someone in your life who you think would benefit from this show, don't keep it from them. And if Instagram is your thing, I want you to meet me there at Toni J. Collier. I'm a little wild, so buckle up. We'll see you next time as we all lean into the stories that help us claim hope and grit over our own lives. See you soon.